Get Up with Josiah and Herbie. The Hit Breakfast Show. On Hit 96.9.
Ah, Mondays, Herbs.
Love Monday.
Can you say that with more authenticity, please?
I love Monday so much. It's my favourite day of the week. Yeah, Monday.
We're on. What a show we had as well. I can't even remember what happened. What did happen?
Oh, well, we had to jump into the world of the new app that is going crazy here in Australia, the COVID Safe app. Are we going to be tracked if we get it? Can people see what we're doing in our day-to-day life? We had all the answers answered this morning.
We did. Plus, we took your calls on do you spend more money on your pets than yourself after my mate did exactly that. Plus, when did you walk into the wrong house?
That's a good one. One superstar from America has done just that. Plus, I should say, I could have been a criminal over the weekend. I got caught in a situation I never thought I'd find myself in.
To be honest, I think you should have been locked up. Like, what you did is so dodgy, man. You got to stop that sort of stuff, eh? Especially if you want to be on the radio.
No one can see me.
Good point. And if you don't mention it, no one will ever know until you get arrested. Find out what that is very soon. It's all in the podcast. Enjoy, guys.
Get Up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
On Saturday, I ended up having to go down to Melbourne. I had an appointment in the afternoon, and because it was a later appointment, I didn't want to drive back to Shep straight away. So I stayed at my auntie's house because she lives by herself. So just to be, you know, safe, don't need to see everyone. It was just herself and me. And we did something at night where both of us were questioning if maybe, without our knowledge, we were doing something illegal.
Corona-related or like...
Not corona. Okay, I'll explain. So it came to dinner time and we thought, look, we're both lazy. Let's just order some Thai. So my auntie Clem, she got her local Thai restaurant up online so we could see what we wanted to order. And then she goes, I'll make the call. We're going to get delivery. Again, we're lazy. And it was when she made the call for delivery. First, she was speaking to someone. Then she said it quickly was passed over to someone else. So she started speaking to a female. Then she was now speaking to a male. And she placed the order through. And then at the end, the guy said, how do you want to pay? And she said, can I pay by card? He said, yeah, that's fine. We just don't do over the phone. You have to do a transfer.
What?
And she's gone, sorry? He goes, yeah, you need a bank transfer. Here's our details. We'll call you back soon with the costs.
A BSB and account number. Like you transfer it to a mate.
Yeah.
And no way.
So then they've hung up and I said, what's happening, Clem? She goes, well, I've got the details. They said they're just going to call back in a few minutes and let us know the price so then we can make the transfer. And so we waited probably close to 10 to 15 minutes and we're going, it doesn't take that long to get a price, especially of two people ordering food. It's not that much money. So I ended up calling back and they said, we'll be with you in a minute, hung up, and then they called us back. And so I answer and it's a female. She's got speaks broken English. And so I was trying to say, hey, we've made an order to Emma Street. It's this many meals. It's for delivery. What's the price? She then passed me on to another person. And so now I've got another female who spoke a little clearer English. And so we're getting a bit further. And she asked me, what's your order? I told her and she said, well, you need to pay. I said, I know that. We're just waiting for the price. And so she ended up giving the price and she said, can you transfer that now? And then we'll call you back. And so she hung up and now Clem and I are looking at each other
going,
you
must be hungry.
Oh, we're starving. We don't know what we've ordered. We just know that we're paying for something through this bank transfer. We're hoping it's Thai, but we don't know. So we transfer the money into this account and then all of a sudden we get a call from the male who was the original person who we spoke to on the phone, who said, have you made the transfer? We said, yes. He goes, you'll get your delivery soon. And so he hung up, and now we're just waiting, playing the wait game. And it had been a good 40 minutes, and I didn't think that they were that busy this night. So we're thinking, what's happened since we've
ordered? How many people are going to be transferring to a BSB and an account number as well?
Exactly. So the doorbell goes, and we're thinking, all right, we're on here. What have we ordered? Open it up. It was the cops.
No way.
No, it was our food. I was gonna
say. Get Up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
President Donald Trump He's done it again. Gosh, I'd love to know a week when he doesn't hit the headlines. That would be one real crazy week.
I think he's a PR machine, and maybe Kris Jenner is his publicist, because he in a quiet week, he still manages to do something to find a headline. So he's a smart man.
No, he's not. He's not a smart man. He is an idiot. And last week, what he said, I don't know if this has got to be one of the dumbest things he said, but it really took the world by storm that over the weekend, it's all everyone's been talking about, because he went to his briefing room, which is where we would see similar to ScoMo doing his press conference to the country. It's where Donald Trump does it, gives an update, with also having his health advisors next to him that update him. Very similar to what we're seeing here, but different in the wording that we're getting told here. Donald Trump's message got a little bit, I don't know if he was confused, but this is what he said last week.
I see the disinfectant where it knocks it out in a minute, 1 minute. And is there a way we can do something like that by injection inside or almost a cleaning? Because you see it gets on the lungs and it does a tremendous number on the lungs. So it'd be interesting to check that. So that you're going to have to use medical doctors with. But it sounds interesting to me.
He's got a good point. Injecting disinfectant into your veins. Would it work? If you're a doctor, 13, 12, 16, let's clear that one up.
If you've seen the footage, he has his medical advisor that's sitting next to him, and you can see their face just change. You can see them going, oh, golly, what is he saying? This is not what we have advised at all. And then he actually had his briefing yesterday where he avoided the briefing room, and his top medical advisors, they spoke for him and insisted that his remarks were misinterpreted and were sarcastic.
I'm going to stick up for Trump here, and you know I like to do it on the show. He's clearly joking, right? You don't become, I'm telling you right now, you don't become the President of the United States. You don't become one of the most successful businessmen to have ever lived for being someone as stupid as to think that you can inject disinfectant into your veins. You can see the way he's looking at his medical officer. He's trying to have a laugh. He's just that dry.
He's not having a laugh. He's actually not the smartest human on earth. He doesn't listen to anyone around him. He speaks his mind, and he knows that most people that voted him in love him and love what he stands for, and they're not the smartest cookies in the jar. I'm sorry to say that, but they're not, because they would go and do exactly what he said, which is injecting.
But he would know that doesn't work. He's not that stupid. He is not. Donald Trump is clearly... No man is saying that out there when you're president. He's trying... Look, bad timing for a joke, but he was clearly joking. He kept looking over. You can see him smiling as he says it. We should post a video to our socials. He's clearly laughing.
His punchline is terrible if that was a joke. He needs to work on that. And if he is so smart, what do you predict next then that Donald Trump will bring to us throughout this COVID-19 outbreak?
Oh, who knows if he's suggesting that. But I will tell you this, he will win the presidential election later this year with a landslide. Mark my words.
I don't know. I was with you before this all happened, but now he's shown his true colours and the country is in need of a leader and they don't have one at the moment. So I don't think he'll be voted back.
Well, you know what? If all his fans actually listen to what he said and do inject themselves with his disinfectant, he'll have no one left to vote him in.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
Herbie, I want to talk to you right now about pets. Now, we have talked about on the show before, you don't like dogs.
No. Take that back, because remember what happened when we came back after our break?
Oh, you bonded, didn't you, with your dad's... What's its name? Hazel.
Hazel, Mum and Dad's chalk lab. So, take that back. I do like dogs. I just don't have any pets myself.
I reckon your parents could call up for this one, because I want to talk about whether you spend more money on your pets than yourself. If you've got a story, 13, 12, 16 is our number. No doubt your parents spend more money on Hazel than they do with you, because they like Hazel more than you. But my friend Chad, I was speaking to him over the weekend. They've got this little Italian greyhound called Billy the Iggy. Now, it's got its own Instagram account, and their goal is but this dog, right, not only has it got its own Instagram account, their goal with this Instagram account is to make it get more followers than me. Like, that's all they want, right? So I've got...
I like that. Now I'm on board that, actually.
I was going to say, I thought you would. You're probably going to follow it today. Now, I've got 5,000+ followers. This dog, they only got it a couple of months ago, already has, I think, just ticked over to 5,000 on the weekend.
Brilliant.
It's catching.
Brilliant.
It's catching me. Like the dog.
You would hate that as well.
The dog is catching me. Yeah, I'm in a battle, an Instagram battle with a little Italian greyhound. No, but something he told me that he did for the Italian greyhound, Billy, was what shocked me over the weekend. He bought a new bed. Now, it was a memory foam mattress, one of those orthopedic ones, not for himself, but for Billy.
For the dog, you're kidding me.
Right?
They sleep on beanbags. They don't even need to sleep on something.
This dog gets a bed and sleeps in a mattress worth $650.
That's more than I spend on myself.
Well, this is what's even worse. Chad's own mattress that he sleeps on himself, $200.
That's so bad. But do you know what? It doesn't shock me. Knowing Chad, it doesn't shock me that he'd only spend $200 on himself. But also, people love their pets.
They do.
I know you've got your parents' pets. Surely they would have spent more money on your pet than yourself.
Yeah, growing up with little Molly, we had her for 17 years. God bless her little soul. She was a Maltese Shih Tzu Poodle Silky, a.k.a. a mutt. But my parents, they doted over that girl more than me any day. And even now, like, we don't hold it as a grudge because we love Molly. She's like our little sister. She was more of a sister to me than my own two sisters. But Mum and Dad did spend way more money. We were actually talking about it the other day. I was saying to Mum and Dad, get another dog. And they're like, no, we spent too much money on it. I'm like, yeah, that was by choice. It's because you buy those extra things.
You don't need accessories.
You don't have to buy the $800 bed. You can just
buy... Just because winter's coming, they don't need their own wardrobe of 14 coats.
Go to Kmart and buy a $30 little poof for it to sleep on. As easy as that.
Oh, people and their pets do go crazy, but it does make for great conversation.
It does. If you guys spend more money on your pets, Goulburn Valley, we're asking you to be a little bit honest this morning. 13, 12, 16 is the number. Do you spend more money on your pet than yourself, mate?
My missus spent $400 the other day on a jacket for her dog.
What kind of jacket?
It's some, like, rare type of fur. I'm not exactly sure, but it costs $400.
Is this the first thing, Jeremy, that your missus has bought for your dog?
Oh, no, this is one of many, many things. She bought him a bed that cost, I don't know, an arm and a leg. She bought him a water bottle that cost him this, a blanket with its self-portrait on it, everything.
Turns out that your mate's not alone. If you go to our hit Facebook page, hit Goulburn Valley, you can check out a lot of comments there. There's one by Mick who's posted a picture of his dog who has a gold chain.
Come on.
Legit, looks like a sparkling, bling-bling gold chain. And then similar to your mate, Lauren has said, my dogs have a special mat from Rover Pet Products, which is Australian made, while Shanley sleeps on a $250 mattress.
Wow.
So
there are
it's a theme.
13, 12, 16 is the number. Dale's in Cobram. You spent more money on your pet than yourself, mate?
No, it's actually my father that does. We had a pet dog, a Kelpie, Brandy, that he bought an electric heated bed for.
No.
The next to his bed.
I've never had an electric heated bed, and now you're telling me a dog has one.
I'm guessing from this phone call, your dad never did anything like that for you?
No, definitely not.
If your dad had to choose, hypothetically, the dog or you, who do you reckon he's choosing right now?
Oh no, he would have absolutely chosen the dog. That was his baby.
Yeah, see, I get this though, Dale. One day, Herbs, when I finally get my own little baby, my own little dog, I've said this on the show before, animals are better than humans, so I'd rather spend more money on it than my own kid.
That's because they're the only people that can stand you.
Herbie, I have to question you as a person for not being too fond of dogs or having to question at least not owning a dog or loving a dog at least.
Well, my parents own a dog. I've moved around so much that it's hard to have a dog because, you know, when you're getting a new lease and everything. And I will agree. I wasn't the biggest fan of them at the start of this year, but I'm a changed woman. I like dogs now.
Well, I'm glad you've changed your mind.
You're finally a changed woman, Herbs. Thank you, Dale, for your call and to everyone that got involved.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
Tom Brady, he has got to be the most successful NFL player ever. He's played in 9 Super Bowls with the New England Patriots, and he's won 6 of them. I reckon if you don't know much about NFL, you would have at least heard of Tom Brady.
Yeah, he's the Michael Jordan of the NFL, no doubt at all.
And he recently has moved. He's left the New England Patriots, and he's gone to to Tampa Bay, which is a huge, huge move for him, especially because the Tampa Bay Bucks, I should say, because it's worth $50 million over 2 years, and he's at the end of his, you'd say, his career.
I know, I get it for the money, but he's left such a legacy at the New England Patriots. I don't know how I feel about this one.
But there is a lot of rumours speculating if him and the old coach had a bit of a blue in the end. There's a lot more to it. Obviously, we're not going to find out. But, you know, well done to him. At the end of his career, he's still pulling in a $50 million contract.
You'll take that, wouldn't you?
I'd take that. And so he has made the move to Tampa Bay, and he was supposed to meet up with his offensive coordinator. And, you know, in isolation, you can't go have the big team meetings at the moment. So they're doing one-on-ones. So he was going to the offensive coordinator, Brian Leftwich's house, to talk about the play, see what's coming up this season. And he went to do so, but then it's been reported by TMZ, unfortunately, that Leftwich, he lives next door to David Kramer, and their houses look similar, and Tom Brady accidentally walked in to David Kramer's house instead of Leftwich, and has just made an absolute fool of himself.
Well, you know, doubt it's not like if you or I walked into his house, you'd be getting the police call on us. At least if it's Tom Brady, you'd be, come on, mate, sit down, have a drink. You wouldn't be upset about it, would you?
David Kramer's come out and said, I was literally just sitting in my room and I see this tall guy walk in to the house. He didn't even look at me. He just dropped his duffel bags down on the floor and just kind of looked up at me, and he had this look that I will never forget, and he said, am I in the wrong house? I love that it's Tom Brady.
I love these stories as well.
If it can happen to him, it can happen to anyone.
Well, my mate Jez, this was so good. The poor guy, he's a bit naive. He's like, yeah, you know, we all have that one friend that you could tell them to do anything and they'll do it.
So, and they're always a nice person, though.
Yeah, which Jez is. I moved into a new house. This is maybe 5 years ago, and all the boys were coming over to my house. Those were the days, weren't they, before Corona? All the boys were coming over to my house for a couple of drinks before we went out. And I sent out the address. I didn't send Jeremy the address, though. I thought it would be a good idea to send Jeremy the address of the house across the road.
No.
And all the boys gathered in the front room in my house, and we watched Jez. Jez is that naive. Not only did he not knock on the door, he's one of those people that just helps himself and walks straight in. So Jez goes to the house across the road. We watch him, and then he doesn't knock. He just walks straight in, and we're losing it. And then we see him get chased out by the guy, some beast. I didn't know, because there's a block of units across the road. Whichever unit he walked into, the guy looked like he was a bikey or something.
That's on you. You set him up there.
Yeah, I'm happy to own that as well. That was one of the greatest moments we've had, though.
Well, get involved, GV. Give us a call, 13 12 16, or you can let us know at our Instagram, at HitGV. When have you walked into the wrong house?
Grace, have you done this?
It's pretty embarrassing. I have a friend who had just gone through a pretty horrendous breakup, so I promised her a really great night out. So I was like, I'll organise the food, please, all that stuff before we go out. So I got to her house and had my hands filled with lots of bottles of alcohol, and I walked in the door and very loudly announced that we were going to have a very large night, to put it politely, and forgot that her grandparents lived next door to her, and I'd ran into her grandparents' house shouting that, and they don't speak a word of English, and they were just quite frightened.
So did you end up staying for a drink?
Well, yeah, but I had to go next door. I didn't have a drink with her grandparents. They don't speak English, they're Greek, and I didn't know how to apologise in Greek, so that was an interesting one.
Amazing. Imagine if they called the police on you. There's some girl that's walked in with all this alcohol. Help us out. They're probably, oppa!
Smashing plates, is that Greek?
Oh, yeah. You should have got in there.
Yeah, I should have done that, made a scene of it, made like I knew what I was doing there.
Good on you, Grace. We appreciate your call. If you want to get involved, hit GV on Instagram, hit Goulburn Valley. Send us a message.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
On Saturday, it was Anzac Day across the country and across the Goulburn Valley. Many people took to their driveways at 5:30 a.m. and they lit up the dawn. It was incredible to see so many clips have gone viral online of lots of people and the way they honour their day. But one in particular, which we wanted to give a shout out this morning, was from Kai Valley, where two families and two driveways, they went side by side and they did something beautiful.
We are one and we are many, and from all the lands on earth we
Those amazing vocals you can hear are Bodie Hawken. We have had him on the show before. He's a superstar and he joins us now. Mate, thanks for the time this morning, Bodie.
Thank you for having me.
Bodie, your video is incredible. It's of your family and your neighbour's family. So far, I believe it's had over 23,000 views. How does it feel?
It's kind of a little bit crazy. We made this video, you know, just representing what we did, with no intent of anything going viral, that's for sure. And it just kind of happened overnight. We're having tea last night, and Mum's walked in and she's gone, you've got 23,000 views, guys. And we've all kind of gone, what? Like, it was not anything we expected to happen. We've all just kind of, you know, it's magic, I guess. It's we don't really know how it happens, but, you know, it's crazy. It's really crazy.
It is a great video. You can check it now. You can check it out at our Hit Facebook page, Hit Goulburn Valley, and it's done so well. We've got to applaud that. But I think the story and the meaning behind it is just amazing and above the rest. How did it all come about?
Yeah, so it really wasn't something we sat down at the start of the week and we just planned. It kind of just made itself a little bit. Our neighbours over the road and who were in the video kind of sent us a message and just said, hey, you know, we're doing this, you know, light up the dawn at the driveway, you guys want to join us? And of course, you know, we're very close neighbors, the answer was yes. And you know, everyone kind of just went, how can we, you know, honor our traditions that we, you know, already have and create new ones that work with, you know, the situation we're in? And so all the kids kind of went off, and you know, every year I play at an Anzac service or two, and so, you know, I learn a new song every year, and I chose I Am Australian this year, and I learnt that. My two sisters and the daughter of the neighbours as well decided that, you know, make up a dance. And Mum kind of just went, well, if you're all doing that, you know, I'll film it.
And it's done well.
So, yeah, it just kind of went from there.
Hey, Bodes, you're a 17-year-old. You're still 17, yeah?
Yeah.
And you're doing year 12 at the moment. For a young person to get behind Anzac Day, you hear the stories, but obviously a lot of young people, they don't find it hard to resonate, but some do compared to the older generation. How much did Anzac Day mean to you over the weekend?
Anzac Day was more special than ever, I think, especially in a time where, you know, no one's together, no one can be together. It's so important to, you know, do something together like this, and it's so important not to forget Anzac Day. And for everyone to, you know, still honour their traditions, even in this situation, to the best they can. And I think what happened on Saturday from everyone was really just a perfect example of that.
Good on you, Bodes. You're a legend, mate. If you do want to check it out again, we have shared it to the Hit Goulburn Valley Facebook page as well. But Bodie, you are a superstar singer, mate. Bodie Hawk Music. Check him out on Facebook, YouTube, you name it. He's on there. Mate, appreciate the time this morning and have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie
on Hit 96.9.
We know when the whole coronavirus broke out that a lot of sport came to a stop, locally, nationally, even globally, which was quite devastating. But now that we see our numbers getting smaller, sport will be making a return here in Australia very slowly. So we know NRL, it's coming back on May 28th. And AFL is looking like they will follow, but probably won't see a return until July. We should get an actual answer of when they're returning this week sometime, or a clearer idea if they are going to be returning at all. But there's one thing that isn't going to be returning at this stage in our sports, and that is crowds, which make up, I think, a massive part of our sport. You know that they actually help teams get across the line in certain games, so it is a very different way to watch the game and experience sports that we love.
I think besides the travel element, it pretty well takes away that home ground advantage feel to it, as we saw in the first round of the AFL and the first couple of the NRL as well.
Especially the AFL. It was weird to watch. You had to have a laugh at one stage because you could hear the players talking.
I actually didn't mind it because you actually hear a bit of the banter in the rugby league and even in the AFL. You could actually hear the tackles. I was like, bang, that's actually way worse than what we normally get to hear. So, yeah, I didn't actually mind it too much. However, I wouldn't say no to the crowd.
Nah, give me the crowd 100% every day of the week. But in saying that, we can't have it at the moment. We understand that. But in Taiwan, they've actually come up with a way to sort their crowds because little did you know, they've actually handled the COVID-19 outbreak better than any other country. Their government has reported 388 cases and only 6 deaths in a population of around 24 million.
Which is almost Australia's size. Are they the official stats, though? I'd love to see.
I've done a bit of Googling this one. They are the official. It's been more successful than most at containing the coronavirus, which makes sense. If not tons of people are travelling there, you can contain it a little bit easier, I guess. And so their games have come back for many of their sports, and their baseball in particular, that came back over the weekend, and they brought spectators, but in a very different way, which I think maybe the NRL AFL needs to look at, because in place of actual ticket holders, the crew set up mannequins
and
cardboard cutouts to sit in the stands. Most carried signs, so they even had signs like sledging players, and they all had safety masks on.
Good idea. A lot of effort for something so stupid, and they can't create that much noise, though.
They can't make too much noise, and the best part about this, over in Taiwan, when the game was happening, there was rain, so rain delays happened, but when they returned after the rain delay, lots of the cardboard cutouts, they'd melted, they'd disappeared.
That is unbelievable. I reckon they actually stole this idea because I saw this in the Gold Coast Titans were playing a game and one of their ground staff, as a joke, set up, I think, 5 mannequins across the ground in their stadium of 20,000 people, and they were doing the exact same thing. So I reckon Taiwan have seen the Gold Coast and gone, you know what, we can do that and make it so much better. They've just done a cheaper version.
The sad thing about the Gold Coast, though, is that they have to do this even when the outbreak isn't on.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
I've got a genuine contender for dumbest tweet of the week, and it happened over the weekend, Herbs, which has got pretty well the whole of America scratching their heads, but also us right here, and I thought it was quite relatable here because we all have a massive marketing fail on this show, don't we, Herbs?
We do, and you are trying to go viral on any kind of platform, so it's not one of your viral tweets, is it?
It's not something I've done, but what they've done is, right, is something I would be doing, and if I did do it, I'd stand by it just like they have. The Minnesota Timberwolves, one of the biggest teams in the NBA in America,
yeah.
What they've done is they've tried to have a dig at the President of the United States, Donald Trump. So Trump, obviously, last week was all over the news because he suggested that we should inject disinfectants into our veins to help fight the coronavirus. You remember that one?
Yeah. Smart man.
I mean, he came out and said he was being sarcastic at the time, but the media had an absolute field day with it. The Timberwolves thought that they'd try and have a laugh at Trump's expense. So what they've done is they have got one of the best players in the NBA, D'Angelo Russell, and he's known as the Iceman.
Why is he known as the Iceman, do you know?
Because his dad actually, this is a fun fact, he explains why he does the Iceman celebration every time he puts in 2 points or a 3-pointer as well. He says you've always got to be prepared for the big moments. You've got to have ice in your veins.
Okay.
Hence why he's the Iceman. Anyway.
Okay, it makes sense.
The Timberwolves wanted to have a dig at the President Trump, so what they did is they put up a photo of D'Angelo Russell and it said, inject ice into your veins, not disinfectant. Now, to add good measure, they put a massive syringe emoji next to it as well. Now, we all know that injecting ice into your veins means something else other than D'Angelo Russell, doesn't it?
That's the touching point this morning. Because it definitely does mean something else in particular countries. I don't know if it's a global phrase.
No, it is in America, believe me. It means the exact same thing it does here. So
how do you know that?
They're trying. We've been there, done that. No, because I've been on Twitter and all the Americans are going crazy over it.
Yeah.
What I like about the Timberwolves, though, Herbs, is they've stuck by it. And if you check out their Twitter account, at Timberwolves on Twitter right now, it's still up despite everyone having a dig in them. And they're like, hey, you guys can translate to whatever you want. We know what it means and we're going by it.
Do you know, I like that because isn't it any press is good press?
100%. Is that our motto on this show, is it?
Let's go with it now. If it works for them, it works for us. We're as good as an NBA team.
It's true. All right, Herbs, leak our nudes.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
Tech expert is what we're calling him. His name's Trent. He is an absolute legend, and we've got him on the phone now about the new coronavirus app. Trent, thanks for your time this morning, mate.
Oh,
there he is. Morning, Trent. Sorry, mate, didn't put you through the desk.
Morning.
Got to get the... I need the tech expert to tell me how to do the technical stuff. Now, this app, mate, a lot of questions. We've had over 1 million people already download is what they're reporting on the news. Is this a great thing? You've been starting this app for a while now.
Yeah, I can see the positives in what they're doing here. You know, people have to, I guess, have a bit of relief in the fact that this government app is not actually going to send any data anywhere unless you're in a situation where you've either been in contact with someone who's had a positive result and has the app, or you yourself is in a situation where you've been tested positive and it's flagged on your account. Basically what it does is it bumps into other users when you're out and about who have got the same application. When they're within about 1.5 metres of distance, the Bluetooth technology basically pings each of the devices and keeps the record on your mobile phone of that activity. And like I said, if you've got a positive result, that's when the data goes up to the servers which are hosted in Australia that the government looks after. And any data that is kept on the phone and you're in a situation where you've got a negative result won't actually hang around for long. 21 days, they're saying, and that'll all be on your mobile phone. And after that 21-day period, it will just be erased completely. So they're only looking for the factor of being able to get in touch with everyone who might have come in contact with someone who has tested positive to COVID-19.
Hmm. Trent, I actually downloaded the COVID Safe app last night. I think it's incredible what the government has done and the turnaround for it. But I know when the COVID-19 outbreak happened, House Party, a lot of people jumped on that app and they had their issues where people were hacking it and getting into personal accounts. Could we see that through the COVID Safe app?
You know, there's a lot of work that has gone into the application. There's always a potential for some sort of hacking to go on. There is a good amount of legislation and well documented in place to, I guess, you know, bring on legal matters if something like that was to occur. But, you know, they have used a decent level of encryption to be able to keep people's data safe. A lot more encryption than you'd usually find in one of those video conferencing applications.
Interesting. Trent, a lot of people, speaking of friends and family, do have a concern that it's the government's way of tracking us, that they're just using this as a, you know, as a launch pad. They've come out and confirmed that's not the way. How much assurance can we have that this isn't the case?
Well, I it's definitely something that doesn't track you. And if you've got that sort of concern, you probably haven't taken into account that if you've got a mobile phone and you're on a mobile network, your mobile network can have details about where you are anyway. And that information can be passed on to emergency services if it's needed. And when you're online on, you know, social media, for instance, as well, you've got a trace of your history of what you're doing there anyway. So if you've got a concern about, you know, the government tracking you via this application, I think it's a bit frivolous in a sense.
And just finally, Trent, I know that we've had over 1 million downloads at the moment, but the government has said that we need at least 40% of the population to download the COVID Safe app for it actually to be successful and work. Do you reckon we will get the downloads needed?
Well, we've got a good number, you know, for the first 24-hour period. You know, I reckon we'll get pretty close to it. At the moment, you know, all of the legislation is written in a way that it is non-compulsory for people to download this application. But, you know, the adaption rate has been very good and the feedback has been, you know, pretty positive from what I've been reading on Facebook and Twitter overnight as well.
Well, Trent, we really appreciate the time this morning. If you are just tuning in, he is our Hit tech expert. If you want to check him out, grab more details, techwrap.net. Have a great day, Trent, and appreciate the time, mate.
Cheers. Thanks for the chat.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
Hey, I want to talk about something I set you on Friday, Herbs, and that was the massive tracking app challenge. So if you missed it, and you are just tuning in, basically around the world, people are starting to go for runs or they're going for walks, and you can actually map your progress on a map. And then when you can see it, You can see the map you've routed. People, you know, post it to Facebook all the time and Instagram, all that. I don't really care when people do. Thanks for sharing, but keep it to yourself is my answer to them. However, I thought it'd be a great idea for you to do it, Herbs, over the weekend. Gives you some time to get your essential exercise out of the way. But not only did I have the idea of you tracking yourself on a map, my challenge to you was to track yourself on a map and spell out the words via the streets of the Goulburn Valley, hit 96.9. Now, it is Monday at 6:40. The big question is, Herbie, how did you go?
First off, I love your thinking behind this of you could have easily done it yourself, but you're a lazy man.
You could have easily come up with the idea and challenged me, but
You've handballed it to me straight away.
Smart man, not lazy.
And I can let you know that I haven't done it yet. Only because I did have to end up going to Melbourne on Saturday.
Do it in Melbourne then.
I had an appointment.
Do it at the appointment. I don't care. Take your
doctors. The doctors aren't that busy. I can tell you they're not that big to make a hit TV in the doctors. But because I didn't do it over the weekend, I will definitely, no matter rain, hail or shine, I will go out and hit the streets today and I will have you a message tomorrow.
Well, can it say Josiah or something? Because you stuffed it up. At least give me some acknowledgement.
No, I'm not going to say your name because, again, we're here for the GV. It's not for you.
Hang on, here's a new one. Instead of spelling out hit 96.9, you have to spell out the word fail because you failed Friday.
Do you want me to do that?
You do whatever you need to do. Just get it done today because this is your last chance. That's all I'm going to say. Do we have your word?
One chance.
It's a beautiful day today. Like I said just before, you're weather Shep. Are you going to do it in Shep, Maroopna? You live in Maroopna. Here's your
phone. The problem is you've got to look at Google Maps to work out when you can, what the streets you can do it. Unlike Melbourne, which is, you know, your grid block, we're a bit more curved streets. There's a lot more avenues going on. So I don't know where I'll do it yet, but I will promise to do it today. You'll have a word tomorrow revealed on the show.
Great news indeed. And for everyone else that wants to get involved, we will post your words that you spell out. If you're going for a run or a walk today with the dog or the cat, whatever you want to take your horse, turn your tracking app on, try and spell out a word, send it to us at HitGV on Instagram, Hit Goulburn Valley on Facebook, and we'll try and post it to our socials. All right, Herbs, we've got your word this time. Pinky promise?
Got my word. Pinky promise, yep.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
It was a very special weekend that just passed, Saturday being Anzac Day, and a very different Anzac Day, may I say. This year, obviously, with everything going on, last week on the show, we did speak about how, yes, we can't go and do the usual marches, the parades, the Anzac Day celebrations that we're used to, but instead, not just us, the whole government, everyone in Australia was asking everyone to get to the end of their driveways at 5:30 in the morning and commemorate those who have gone before us and fought for our country.
Yeah, watching,
and that's exactly what happened.
Watching on the news that night, on Saturday night, and they did a wrap around all the states around our country and how each, different people have done it. I think that going forward, you can take parts of, even though we're not going to have coronavirus forever and we will be able to do marches moving forward, there are parts of this and some traditions that may stem from this because it's quite moving to see a lot of the ways people are celebrating.
It was so moving. I know I got up at 5:30 and I was out the front in Kayala and it was eerie. I mean, you're standing there by yourself and you're looking around and I was had it playing in my ears, in my headphones, and I got emotional. It's hearing everyone's stories that was said on air that morning, but then also just, I think, being by yourself, not just at the parade, what usually happens, you had more time to think of exactly what these people, men and women, did for our country. So for me, it was a very emotional year. I was crying with the same that you said at the news, how they went around the country, have showed the highlights of the day. I was just in tears.
Seeing around the Goulburn Valley as well, I'm on a few Facebook groups there as well, people posting, a lot of people going out to do the last post for their driveway, for all their neighbours and for the surrounding suburbs to hear. So well done to everyone that got involved on Saturday morning.
And there was one video that actually is a local video that's got done pretty well on the socials. It's about two neighbours coming together and how they celebrated and honoured Anzac Day this year. And one of the kids who featured in that video, Bodie Hawken, he'll be joining us after 8 to let us know exactly how they put together their video and their thoughts behind it.
Absolutely. Well done to everyone that got involved Saturday morning. It's a brilliant thing and an important one as well.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie
on Hit 96.9.